Well, there you are. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. Thought we were going to have some microphone problems again. Oh, my God. Yeah. I hope you had a great Easter weekend. We went to so many egg hunts with this 4.5-year-old kid, almost 5-year-old kid we have. If I see another candy Easter egg, I'm going to kill somebody. I just want to get that out there right now. No, we had a good time. It was a lot of fun. We managed to go Easter egg hunting with Molly between the violent windstorms and tornadoes and rainstorms that were ripping through the southeast, as you probably saw. A lot of weirdness going on. It was nice to take a break and go participate in that little aspect of spring celebration, because there is so much weirdness out there. It's getting thicker and thicker. I got into some kind of an email exchange with a woman who is she's the executive assistant to somebody in the Hawaii legislature who is one of the co-sponsors, another one of these tea bag parties coming up on the 15th. I guess the 15th is the big day for the teabagging stuff. What is this? What is this craziness? It's all generated by some half-assed organization that Dick Armey and Tom DeLay are involved in. It has nothing to do with spontaneity. Everything to do with Fox News Channel trying to gin up some kind of demonstrations they can then cover and report as news. I've been talking about Glenn Beck and some of these right-wingers that'll be taken off the air. Fox News Channel ought to be removed. What do you say about when you have in your midst of your society a propaganda machine that wants to do nothing but destroy your country and will use lies, innuendos, falsehoods, misinformation, disinformation, and people at staff with some of the most openly, blatantly fascist right-wingers that this society can vomit up? It's incredible. These teabagging parties. Paul Krugman wrote about it today, and as he points out, the Republicans have become embarrassing to watch. And therefore, it doesn't feel right to make fun of crazy people, like mocking these little teabag parties. What is this? Krugman says one way to get a good sense of the current state of the Republican Party is to look at the tea parties that have been held in a number of places already, be held across the country on Wednesday. These parties, and they are anti-taxation demonstrations that are supposed to evoke the memory of the Boston Tea Party and the American Revolution. These parties have been the subject of considerable mockery, and rightly so. But everything that critics mock about these parties has long been standard practice within the Republican Party. Krugman says, thus, President Obama is being called a socialist who seeks to destroy capitalism. Why? Because he wants to raise the tax rate on the highest income Americans back to, about 10 points less than it was for most of the Reagan administration. Right? It's insane. You know, we make jokes about how Republicans and right-wingers and conservatives are crazier than goddamn loons, but there is no joke. They really are insane. I mean, just completely, if you call the inability to operate in the rational world as insane, maybe it's not. A lot of people, radical psychologists back in the 60s and 70s said insanity is just a political designation, that just because somebody operates within the framework of a different reality doesn't mean they're crazy. Okay, then let's go with that. The Republicans are operating within the framework of a different reality that has no connection to the United States 2009. None. None whatsoever. The best connection I can find between their alternate reality is into the mind of a drug-addled, drove himself deaf with pain pills, loser, psychopathic radio talk show host, a crazy woman from Alaska who's governor, an unemployed nobody who claimed to be a plumber until the plumbers union said, get out of here. You're no more of a plumber than we're rocket scientists. I mean, that's the reality that Republicans live in. Now, it's fun to watch, and they are a party in its death throes, but it can also be dangerous, because since it is a political organization that is slowly rotting from the inside and therefore dying the stinking death, they are the death throes of this organization are such that people who have access to guns believe some of the stuff they're putting out there, and they're getting crazier and crazier. You know, otherwise you could just say, you know, to hell with the Republican Party, let it rot and die. It's an anachronism. Doesn't belong in the 21st century at all. It just doesn't. There is nothing rational or forward thinking about the Republican Party. It is just a cesspool of idiots. Let it die. Except for that violence factor. The Republicans are so good at stirring up in other people. Have you ever noticed that? So why the charge of socialism being thrown around? And Krugman answers it. He says, because the word liberal doesn't seem to carry the punch it used to. And I think one of the reasons it doesn't is because people are starting to realize that liberalism is the only salvation this poor, miserable country has. It's the only thing that they might latch on to at the last minute, liberalism. Not leftism, liberalism. But Republicans are brain dead. Remember when Karl Rove said that liberals wanted to offer therapy and understanding to the 9/11 terrorists? Remember that? That's why you have these crazy people pick up guns and go out and walk into a Unitarian Universalist church and try to kill people, screaming about how they hate liberals. This is what Glenn Beck, Karl Rove, Rush Limbaugh, and the rest of these animals inspire. Violence. Extreme violence. That's why these are weird times. Then there are the claims made at these Tea Party events that Obama wasn't born in America. And then that he's a secret Muslim. And these drooling bastards stand there and yeah. Crazy stuff. But as Krugman says, nowhere near as crazy as the claims during the last Democratic administration that the Clintons were murderers. Claims that were supported by a campaign of innuendo on the part of big league conservative media outlets and figures, especially Rush Limbaugh. Don't you all remember that? There were bodies buried all over Arkansas. Don't you remember this disgusting fake Christian thug, Falwell, who is now roasting eternally in hell? Don't you remember when he put out, what was the Clinton Chronicles that he hawked on his filthy website? About how the Clintons just left a trail of murder across Arkansas. Remember that? That wasn't that long ago, Truth Seeker. Surely you remember that. Huh? Now, the Tea Parties, sponsored and promoted by Tom DeLay, you know, the hammer. who also is a fierce opponent of the theory of evolution. He once suggested that the teaching of evolution led to the Columbine School massacre, right? He shows up at these tea parties or people who are there in his stead, and they stand up and talk about burning books and getting evolution out of the schools. Holy jumping Christ! That's what the Republican Party is right now.
He's the voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
Well, if I am, you're in trouble. Twenty-one past the hour. Now, back to what Krugman said earlier about in his column today about the Tea Parties Forever. Last but not least, it turns out that these tea parties don't represent a spontaneous outpouring of public sentiment at all. Gee, there's a surprise. They're what's called AstroTurf. That means fake grassroots organization, manufactured by the usual suspects. Krugman says in particular, a key role is being played by Freedom Works, an organization run by Dick Armey, the former House Majority Leader, and supported by the usual group of right-wing billionaires. And the parties are, of course, being promoted heavily by Fox News. But that's nothing new. An AstroTurf kind of scams have worked very well for Republicans in the past. And that's because their followers are so stupid and so empty-headed. The average Republican couldn't find his ass with both hands. Or her ass with both hands. Just no way. They're like a different species. But the most notable example of fake, popular uprising was the spontaneous so-called riot back in 2000, orchestrated by the Republican strategists that shut down the presidential vote recount in Florida's Miami-Dade County. Remember that? All those, they call it the Gucci riot. All these white people banging on the windows. Shut it down. Shut it down. Turned out they were all Republican Party staffers from Washington, D.C. So what's the implication of the fact that Republicans can't grow up, refuse to grow up? Well, in the short term, that's good for Democrats, but it's bad for the country. And as Krugman concludes, for now, the Obama administration gains a substantial advantage from the fact that it has no credible opposition, especially on economic policy, where the Republicans seem particularly clueless. And that's so true. I mean, these tea parties, they're insane. Sassy Lass says, Tom Hartman says we should go to the tea party and have signs that say tax the rich and tax Walmart and stuff like that. Okay, but I don't think Hartman is considering the fact that the people who attend these parties are frothing, brain-dead right-wingers, and they see a sign like that and think that you were a communist or I don't know, a socialist or an Obama supporter or queer, or you were there looking for an abortion and they would probably attack you with semi-automatic assault weapons. You know, I would not go near one of those teabagging parties. And by the way, if you want to... If you really want to know, when I first heard the expression, I've had a few people write to me about this too. When I first heard the expression, I thought, wait a minute, teabagging. And I had to, climb aboard my own personal Wayback Machine to remember back in the day when I hung out here in Atlanta with a particularly radical group of queers who were, you know, just a hell-raising bunch who were agitating for full civil rights along with everybody else. And this is back in the day when Gay Pride Day was just starting to develop across the country and here in the South. And I remember the expression teabagging from then. If you want to know what it means, no way I can say it on the air, go to urbandictionary.com, urbandictionary.com, and look it up. And Bob writes in and says, does anybody at Fox know about this? Know about this dictionary? And this definition, I should say? Every once in a while, when you hear somebody use this term, you'll hear folks in the immediate vicinity kind of snicker or go, damn. Look it up, and you'll know why. Go to urbandictionary.com. And Ronnie writes, tea parties, Republican tea parties. What a blanking joke. Ed showed a clip on his show where someone at one of these so-called tea parties spews out, burn the books! And Ronnie writes, what the blank is going on? Isn't that what the Nazis did? To me, Ronnie writes, these so-called tea parties look more like Christo-fascist Klan meetings without the walking tampons. Ronnie. Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is. Fox News should have every single one of its licenses pulled for all of its stations and gotten the hell out of the United States. You know, they talk about Barack Obama was born someplace else. No, he wasn't, but Rupert Murdoch was. Rupert Murdoch was, and he ought to be thrown out of the country. Just throw him out. Throw him out on his ass. He's a terrorist. He has a terrorist organization. It's called the News Corp. And its major subsidiary is Fox Television. It is a full-blown, by George Bush's definitions, terrorist organization. Not that I depend on George Bush to define my terms, but just going on these sick, degenerate Republican definitions, it's a terrorist organization. It is a terrorist organization. It is. And it should be shut down. And anyone who has been involved in it should be sent to Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan.
Time to practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
It is 25 before the hour. This is the Malloy program. A couple of emails here about the Tea Party. Dan in Atlanta writes, Mike, actually in Lawrenceville, Mike, my uncle reminded me this weekend, and Tom Hartman mentioned this on his show today. You have these dummy Republicans trying to evoke visions of the Boston Tea Party with this upcoming event in order to protest against the government and taxation. But the real Boston Tea Party was a protest against the lowering of corporate taxes. The lowering of corporate taxes. The Boston Tea Party was in response to the East India Trading Company having its tax rate on tea reduced from 25% to zero. East India Trading Company was like the Walmart of the colonial era. Can these Republican yutzes please learn a little history? Sincerely, Dan in Lawrenceville. Yeah, Republicans, they're the most ignorant collection of weird people ever assembled in one place in one country. And anything that they are told, just let Limbaugh bring it up or Beck bring it up or, John Boehner or The Hammer or anybody on Fox bring it up, bring up a topic, and the Republican, you know, these lizard brains will just fall in line immediately. That's why I wish they would all join the military. Jesus Christ, we could take over Afghanistan in 6 weeks. If every Republican, because they are so stupid, give them a gun, a helmet, maybe, ship about 7 million of them to, isn't that the number of audience Rush Limbaugh claims? A week, ship 7 million of them to Afghanistan. Put them on the border between Iran and Afghanistan, facing towards Afghanistan, and then just say forward march, shoot anything that moves. Jesus Christ, we would own Afghanistan, and I don't know, how long does it take to march across that country? That's how stupid and brain dead Republicans are. Of course, they don't serve in the military. They try to force their sons and daughters to go in the military, but they don't go in the military.
My son's a Marine. What are you? God damn it, you never even served in the military.
Well, did you?
My son's a Marine, goddammit.
The teabagger, this is from Michael in Roswell, New Mexico. The teabaggers are being funded by the Koch, or Koch, K-O-C-H Foundation. And, of course, Michael adds, the original Tea Party was a strike against corporate influence with the king and parliament as the tax stamp effectively created an artificial monopoly. And here the teabaggers are being promoted by a corporation that made its money stealing oil revenues from the Indian tribes in Oklahoma. The Koch, or Koch Foundation. In America Grand. Oh, man. And it, is this from Think Progress? I think. They write, yesterday, Think Progress report on Republican lawmakers planning to speak at anti-Obama Tea Party protests taking place nationwide April 15th. Last night, Eric Odom of the Don't Go website, one of the organizers of the protests, you know, don't go, but do go, wrote a blog post stressing that these protests are displays of regular Americans in protest to government spending and extreme taxation, rather than something affiliated with a political party or special interest agenda. You know, this is the part that amazes me. How can this is a rhetorical question because the answer is in the question. How can Republicans be so goddamn stupid? They are just functionally illiterate, all of them. All of them. They don't understand the Boston Tea Party. And not only that, but where is the extreme taxation? Who is being extremely taxed? Hello? Anybody there? Who's being extremely taxed? You ask, that's how I finally got rid of the psychopath from the Hawaii legislature. You know, she must have written me about 5 emails today, and I kept answering, what are you talking about? So I finally wrote back and said, you know, she said, well, you ought to know about this. We here in the legislature, I said, lady, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know why the hell you're even writing to me. You know, why are you writing to me? You know, you're just as crazy as a loon. Don't write to me about these tea parties. Jesus God. They don't understand what it is. They have no clue. As to what the original, Boston Tea Party was about. And the people sponsoring it are people who will eat alive these poor idiots who show up with their tea bags and their little signs. And they don't realize that what they're saying is we want more victimization. We want to be kicked harder in our asses. We want more of our social safety net taken away. We want never to have a publicly financed health care. We don't ever want to see our children go to college. We want to be stomped on and just squeezed and beat upon and dump feces on us and beat us, kick us. Is that good, Glenn? Am I being good, Glenn? Huh, Glenn? My God, how can you people be this goddamn stupid? Oh, well, you're Republicans. That's how. It says today on Fox News, this might have been yesterday or Friday, which has actively been promoting the protests, Glenn Beck pushed the Tea Party talking points, similarly claiming that the protests aren't coordinated in any way and are fully organized by regular people. that goggle-eyed son of a bitch is on Fox is standing. Nobody is organizing this. It's all spontaneous. Look into my eyes. Look into my bloodshot eyes. You know, I should cut Glenn Beck some slack. Half his family committed suicide. I think his mom. I think a couple of brothers. I think a couple of cousins. You know, the whole family. I don't know if it was all together one day or if they did it individually. I don't know. But he is a wreck. I mean, the guy is really a wreck. And this, the suicides in his family started, I guess, when he was 7 or 8 years old. Now, that's rough. That explains him. And he said he's contemplated it. Oh, I guess there is hope, right? I guess there is hope if he's contemplating it.
Well, let's say he's pouring gasoline on people in,
He's what?
He's pouring gasoline on his studio guests, and I think one of them passed out on camera today. There's something wrong with the gas, too.
Yeah, I think I heard that, too, that somebody passed out on his program. Probably got too near him and inhaled some of his aftershave. I don't know. I think Progress points out, despite the attempts to make this phony-ass tissue paper-thin movement appear organic, the principal organizers of the local events are actually the lobbyist-run think tanks, Americans for Prosperity. Americans for Prosperity, goddamn. The nerve! I mean, picking names like that. This is Americans for Slavery. They're Americans for Let Me Steal You Blind, You Dumbass Reagan Democrats. Let Me Take Everything You've Got, You Stupid Republicans. Americans for Prosperity. The other organization is called Freedom Works. That's the one of Dick Armey's. You know, Freedom Works? What freedom are you talking about? Freedom to steal everything from stupid American conservatives. Okay, well, a scam is a scam is a scam. It doesn't make any difference what the title of it is. Anyway, the two groups are heavily staffed and well-funded and are providing all the logistical and public relations work necessary for planning these coast-to-coast protests. Freedom Works staffers coordinate conference calls among protesters, contacting conservative activists to give them sign ideas, sample press releases, and a map of events around the country. Freedom Works staffers apparently moved to take over the planning of local events in Florida. Freedom Works provides how-to guides for delivering a clear message to the public and the media. Freedom Works has several domain addresses, some of them made to look like they were set up by amateurs to promote the protests. And Americans for Prosperity is writing press releases and planning the events in New Jersey, Arizona, New Hampshire, Missouri, Kansas, and several other states. Oh, my God. Americans for Prosperity is run by Tim Phillips, who was Ralph Reed's former partner in the lobbying firm Century Strategies. Ralph Reed, he's the one that ripped Christ's arms off and head off and urinated in Christ's neck. That's essentially what Ralph Reed did with his, the Christian Coalition. Ralph Reed lives here in Georgia, and Ralph Reed is one of the psychopaths of the highest order. He talks about being a Christian, but if Jesus showed up right now, Glenn would try to decapitate, or not Glenn, him too, but Ralph Reed would try to cut his head off. Ralph Reed would burn Jesus at the stake. Ralph Reed, this is where I almost, you know, sometimes I think to myself, oh, I wish there were a hell, no heaven, but a hell, because Ralph Reed would be down there being teabagged by Satan's demons for all of eternity. You know, he really would. Look it up. So there's your spontaneity. Freedom Works, it belongs to Dick Armey. And Americans for Prosperity belongs to Ralph Reed's former partner in the lobbying firm Century Strategies. That was the organization that ripped off Native American tribe after Native American tribe, telling them, hey, did you know the tribe down the street's going to open a casino? Pay us $10 million and we'll make sure they don't. And then they would go to the one down the street and say, hey, do you know the tribe back up the street is going to open a casino? Pay me $10 million and they won't. I guess they just figured, you know, you give enough fire water to the Redskins and you can get them to do anything you want, right? Jesus Christ, I live in an asylum. I live in an asylum.
I think I'm down.
the primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. Okay, it's not the Koch Foundation or the Koch Foundation. It's the Koch, K-O-C-H, Koch Foundation. They are the principal contributors or funders of the Cato Institute, the so-called libertarian organization that always seems to come down on the side of the hard Republican right. Jesse writes in, Mike, to answer your questions about Republicans, they are not all stupid, but they do respond solely to negative emotion. They feed on it. When they are feeding on and perpetuating negative emotions such as fear, hate, and anger, they cannot think critically. Liberal thinking is basically based on love and equality. If someone among us liberals came up with some strategy such as teabagging, fellow liberals would say, WTF, have you gone mad? Yeah, I've never seen such a collection of dunderheads as Republicans. And it's gotten worse and worse and worse over the past 25 years. It's almost like when the Republicans unleashed Ronald Reagan on the United States and he, through his charm and good looks and the fact that, you talk about having, total name recognition. I mean, my God, you know, he'd been in the movies since what, the late 30s? Reagan was the creme de la creme. There wasn't a person in America that didn't know who, oh, Ronald Reagan. Oh, yeah. And they put him in there and then started this infestation of, the house that America built, these roaches and termites that are Republicans. And look what they've done. If you doubt for a second the effectiveness of the Republican Party in destroying this country, again, I've said this before, just look at what they've done. I mean, please, just look at what they've done. That's all you have to do. You know, I think in a courtroom that would constitute prima facie evidence. You know, I'm standing over the corpse with a gun in my hand. A 45 caliber, and the body is riddled with 45 caliber bullets, and I'm standing there saying, as the police walk in, I'm glad I killed you, you son of a bitch. I'm going to have a pretty hard time defending myself, right? I mean, in a court of reason. Well, it's kind of like that for Republicans. They're, look what they've done. Look what they've done. That's all you have to do. Todd in Mundelein, Illinois. Mike, just thought I'd tell you, I Googled Urban Dictionary just now. The first item on the list is, you guessed it, teabagging. Republicans are so ignorant, I'm laughing my ass off. Right. It's just, I can't believe that this is the term that they're using. And there's, and the Christians, the Christians who are out there. Oh, lots of Christians going to the tea parties. Yeah, because it's a Christian nation. And the Boston Tea Party was all about Christians not drinking tea or something, right? But, you know, all the Christians and the Michelle Bachmann types who are promoting teabagging, and they don't have a clue as to what they're talking about. Good God. Keep it up. Keep it up, y'all. It's a clown act, only it's one of those scary clown acts, you know, as in, who is that guy in Chicago, Kathy, that dressed up like a clown that murdered all those young boys? Who was that? John Wayne Gacy, right. That's the kind of clowns. When I look at Dick Armey or Tom DeLay, I can't help but think, you know, what a clown. And immediately superimposed over that is this moon face of John Wayne Gacy and his insane clown act. Oh, my God. So, you know, when I refer to the Republicans who are out there dangling their tea bag, dangling their tea bags in the wind, I refer to them as clowns. I don't mean clowns as in Emmett Kelly. I mean clowns as in John Wayne Gacy. How can, and to those Republicans who listen to this program, how can you people be this stupid? Honest to God. I mean, I shouldn't ask you that. That's like asking, a kleptomaniac, why do you steal? Jesus God. Insanity. Insanity. Teabagging. No, I don't have time to do Prairie 2's missive for today. Plant your bubble garden. But also, when we come back, one of Germany's most senior Catholic bishops at his Easter Sunday sermon attacked atheists and implied there's a connection between non-belief in God and the worst crimes of Nazism and communism. And anyone with a lick of sense, this guy must be a Republican, because anyone with a lick of sense understands that, go to Hitler's book, Mein Kampf. It showed that his ideology was largely based on Christian tradition. Hitler was a Christian. I'm sorry. A lot of people say, well, they were full of pagans. No, not pagans in the traditional sense. They became pagans in the sense of starting to worship lust and power. Not pagan capital P, but pagan small p. If you remember the pagans, don't write to me, because I know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. But the idea that the Nazi regime was a godless one is insane. Hitler was a Christian, up to and including his hatred of the Jews. That's very Christian. That's the foundation of Christianity. Up until Vatican II, remember, up until Vatican II, which was in the 60s, the Jews had murdered the Christians' Lord and Savior and angel baby of God. The Jews had murdered him, okay? Oh, my God. And the majority of the Nazi elite were classified themselves as Christian. I mean, they just did. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. I have decided not to get too deeply immersed into the Limbaugh droppings, but I am kind of curious about what the pig man had to say today about the successful rescue of the Merchant Marine ship captain, and the fact that, as in any military action like this, the ultimate authority for and the ultimate responsibility for the success or failure of the mission is the commander-in-chief, the President of the United States. The failed attempt in the Carter years, Carter administration, to rescue the hostages that the Republicans had already cut a deal with the Iranians to keep until after the election. Dirty, rotten bastards. That's what George Herbert Walker Bush did. Jimmy Carter didn't know that that deal had been cut. And he sent a rescue team that had a horrible accident in the desert. I think was it the Sinai Desert? And the Republican filth machine was cranked up just enough back in 1979, 78, 79, None of it was on the air, of course, at that time. The Republican filth machine hadn't learned how to reproduce itself. So back then, so it mostly came from columnists and pundits. But they really gutted Jimmy Carter on that issue. So fast forward 30 years, and Barack Obama is the president. While, of course, if you're a Somali, you might not see it this way, or if you're a pirate, you might not see it this way. But a highly successful rescue operation of the merchant ship captain by summarily executing the three pirates who took him hostage. Now, say what you want, and last week we did comment on the fact that Somalia is a failed state, not least include exploitation by Europeans and so on and so forth. And I completely agree, and something sure should be done about it. But one of the things that is not included in doing something about it is capturing people on the high seas, murdering them, raping them, holding them as hostages for money. It's my understanding that some 200 people are still being held by the pirates, and something like 20 ships are still being held for ransom. So, you know, it's the same old story. If you're going to do the crime, be prepared to do the time. And in the case of the pirates, the time involved is eternity. That's just the way it goes. If you want to be a pirate, be a pirate. God damn, go ahead. But don't give me your whiny ass story about, all these ships that have dumped garbage on your seashore and overfished your ocean. That's true anywhere. You know, white people, black people, Asian people, everybody's complaining about the same thing. So, but you don't see fishermen over here in, off the coast of Alaska, grabbing cruise ships and holding people hostage, do you? No, you don't. See, this is the part where I come across like a real white racist imperialist son of a bitch, you know. But, you know, frankly, right now, on this particular topic, I don't care if that's your interpretation, wallow in it. But, so Obama, I did listen to Fox News this morning. I blogged about this today at MikeMalloy.com. I was waiting to see how the right wingers were going to treat this story. On television. I cannot listen to the scum on radio. And I cannot watch, Glenn Beck. He makes me want to, you know, start planting bombs around my own house. So I watch these people on Fox News and they say, well, did you know he had 14 meetings? Yeah, those are called briefings, you dumbasses. That's how a president / commander in chief and his forces in the field, in this case, in the middle of the Indian Ocean, keep abreast of the changing situation. They're called strategy sessions. Can you say that? Say it after me. Strategy. No, you can't say it. I understand. Okay. And then these Fox people on this Fox show in the morning, the guy on this Fox, what's his name? Ducey? Steve Ducey? He would make coffee nervous. I have never seen a twitchier, jumpier, pop-eyed sucker, a white pop-eyed sucker than this guy. And his mall, the broad that sits next to him, is she real or is that the absolute peak of Disney animatronics? I have never seen anything like these two. So they were sitting there. Gretchen, that's her name. Hansel and Gretchen or something. So they're sitting there this morning on Fox News, and I said to Kathy, when you take Molly to preschool, I've got to watch this. And she backed out of the room slowly, you know, like, oh God, don't. But I did. And, it was really something amazing to see how Barack Obama's rescue really was a failure. And the reason it was a failure was because he waited, what, 4 whole days before he sent in the Navy, the SEALs. Oh my God. I don't know. I can't handle these swine.
And the amazing thing is he did it not in a flight jacket.
Yeah, he didn't.
He wasn't in drag.
And he wasn't dressed up like a pirate. Like Jack Sparrow. Arg! Arg, I went out there and got the pirates, I did, arg. Jesus God.
Bush would have had four or five different outfits just for the occasion.
Well, I...
Each with a bigger codpiece.
And I've heard that, I guess it's a Raw story, that Limbaugh went after Jonah Goldberg, whose mother, of course, is Lucy Ann Goldberg, not Limbaugh's mother. Limbaugh doesn't have a mother. Jonah Goldberg's mother. Jonah is this right-wing freak, mouth-breathing pundit, and he made the mistake of saying Sunday evening, good for President Obama. He approved the rescue. It was the right thing to do with no small amount of risk, and God bless the SEALs. Apparently, that's all Jonah Goldberg blogged at the National Review site, and according to Raw Story? Yeah. By Monday morning, Goldberg was beginning to realize he might have put his foot in it. He wrote, quote, my morning inbox is full of snark and bile from some folk who think I shouldn't have congratulated President Obama for the rescue last night. But you know what? Congratulations anyway. I think my credentials as a critic of Obama are pretty solid, but I find the idea that I have to be critical no matter what Obama does to be exhaustingly unappealing, end quote. Oh, Jonah, is it getting a little bit hard to be a dickhead? Is it really? Is that your problem? Are you having some problems just being a class A dork? Are you really? Aw, oh, Jonah, it's a heavy burden to bear, isn't it, huh? So, anyway, he goes on, by midday, it was clear even to Goldberg that Rush Limbaugh had been letting him have it with both barrels. Limbaugh began his Monday show by saying, and again, this is according to the Raw story, every word dripping with extreme sarcasm, quote, I want to single out today Jonah Goldberg at National Review Online for being the first that I saw to have the proper reaction to the rescue of Captain Phillips from the Merchant Marine organizers. That was to congratulate President Obama for a job well done. And I think we must all agree, folks, that when Obama does something right, we got to go out there and we got to acknowledge it. Limbaugh's assault might be considered ill-natured, given that Goldberg had defended him, Limbaugh, just last month when Limbaugh came under fire for saying he wanted to see Obama fail. It goes on and on. Go to rawstory.com and read this. Right-wing pundits fall out. Limbaugh eviscerates Goldberg. These people, I don't know. They are just, like I said, they're a different species. They don't belong here. I wish they could be shoved back through the wormhole that emitted them. Just shoved back into that wormhole. Let them go on to the 27th dimension where they belong. God, I'm sick of them.
Truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. We'll get to the priest and the genocide. Well, bishop genocide thing in a second. A quick email from Bridget. Regarding teabagging. Yeah, I looked it up. I confess I'm howling with laughter at the vision of someone telling one of these Republican dumbos what it really means. I haven't paid a lot of attention to this teabag stuff, she writes. I've been dealing with trying to pay bills, friends whose marriage falling apart because one of them had an affair, seedlings in the greenhouse need to be transplanted, and that's just the minor stuff. So I just did a brief survey of the websites, and I'm completely confused. Mike, what is this whole movement about, teabagging movement? I couldn't find a single mission statement or any statement of purpose anywhere. There's a lot of bloviating about deficits and bailouts, but excuse me, who the hell started all that? And the comment sections. Mike, who are these people? They are ignorant, illiterate, ignorant, stupid, ignorant, hate-filled, ignorant, and oh, did I mention ignorant? They talk as though Obama, who has been in office less than 90 days, invented all the ills they see in this country. Here's a quote. Quote, many of us are frustrated because we see our country go to hell in a handbasket, and all because of the utter stupidity of the American people who went to the ballot box and voted for a socialist and put so many Democrats in the House and Senate that the Republicans have no voice, end quote. Oh, my God. The inanity and insanity is beyond belief. But I have a huge rainbow out my window at the moment, and that, frankly, is much more soul-nurturing than contemplating idiocy. Bridget. Yeah, they are immersed in a separate reality. Wasn't that one of Castaneda's books? I think it was, with Don Juan Matus and Don Gennaro and all those Yaqui Indian sorcerers wandering around the Sonora Desert, a separate reality. I believe that was the first or second book. I read them so long ago. But that was kind of a good thing in that it explored, ultra consciousness. Whereas Republicans live in a separate reality that is consciousness less. There is no consciousness. There is no sense of up, down, left, right, wrong, sick, healthy, anything. I don't know. It's a place outside of time and space where Republicans operate. And there's, I picture a huge funnel about the size of your average galaxy. And this funnel, down this funnel comes all this garbage that comes out of the bowels of people like Limbaugh and Hannity and Beck and Boner and DeLay and Army and Cheney and I'm just on and on and on. This huge, huge funnel. And there's this gurgling and rushing sound of all this stuff comes down the funnel and creates the universe where these Republicans live. I'd have to do acid again to try to describe it to you. And I stopped that 30 years ago. But that would be the best way to describe it. You know, just do some, I don't know what, maybe some orange sunshine or something, not a lot. And then just try to describe what the Republican universe looks like. That's the best I could, I don't know. You can't do it if you're in this state of consciousness or sane. Now, the other thing to do, of course, would be to become completely mad, completely babbling, you know, on your way to an institution for the criminally insane. You know, somebody who is really, I mean, delusional with paranoid schizophrenia and just seeing all kinds of hopping things all around the room. That person might be able to describe what passes for reality for Republicans or conservatives or whatever the hell they're called these days. But it's astonishing. That's the reason Bridget sees no mission statement or no raison d'etre for this teabagging thing. It is a joke on these dumbasses. Just like, I mean, people who come up with this stuff look at the great unwashed clutch of dumb Republicans and they say, well, what kind of a job are we going to do on them today? I know. There's an old expression called teabagging. Oh, God, don't you? How are you going to use that? Well, watch. We'll make these stupid nuts think that teabagging means teabags. This will be easy because they're so easily twisted and turned and knotted and unknotted. So we'll get them all chanting about teabagging. And this is going to be an absolute riot for the people in the know. I guess that's the only thing I can think of. But if you haven't been to UrbanDictionary.com, do it. Find out what these people are doing. Oh, my God. It's just... what is this? an email from Melbourne, Australia. I think this person is jumping in my ass for, well, I'll read it. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
It's about 25 before the hour. You know, ever since I started making the disparaging remarks about the Somali pirates who intercepted a shipment of relief to the Kenyans, World Food Program supplies that was on its way to Mombasa. You know, I have declared my contempt for this group of pirates who did that. And that's all I've talked about. You know, I haven't talked about any other acts of piracy on the high seas, however that term is defined. And yet, I've been getting a steady stream of email, nothing overwhelming, but a steady stream of email telling me that I'm wrong, that I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Johan Hari wrote for the Huffington Post a piece entitled "You Are Being Lied To About Pirates." And I'll bet you at least 12, 15 people have sent me links to this article about how the Western world has been dumping nuclear waste off the coast of Somalia and destroying their fishing. And as a result of that, one should be very cautious in criticizing the Somalis for reacting. Well, again, I don't know how to... how to thread that particular needle. I have, as much as I'm sympathetic to the Palestinians and the cruel, inhuman treatment they've gotten from the Israelis since 1948, I've made it very clear that, you know, blowing up a bus on a street in downtown Tel Aviv, a Palestinian suicide bomber doing that, and killing hundreds and hundreds or scores or dozens of people, to me is the kind of desperation that, yes, might be caused by the camps in the occupied territories. But I have a hard time in finding moral equivalency, the same way I had a hard time finding equivalency in the Jewish terrorists blowing up the King David Hotel and killing scores of British officers and Jews and Palestinians in 1947 and in 1946. I've said before on this program, to me, and this probably shows my parochialism, but to me, an act of terror is an act of terror. And it involves the forced taking of the lives of innocent people. Cynics can say there are no innocent people. Everybody's guilty. And to that I say, oh, kiss my ass. You know, I'm so sick of hearing that. I could just bleed out of my eyeballs. Yes, there are innocent people. And yes, they do get murdered in acts of terror. Now, as far as these pirates are concerned, if they have a legitimate cause about the dumping of nuclear waste off their coast, If they have a legitimate issue with overfished areas that they used to rely on. Again, I don't know how to respond to that. The people who live in Denver live not far from Rocky Flats, which is probably one of the most radioactive spots on Earth, as a, you know, a parting gift from the U.S. military. But I don't see people from Boulder, Colorado, hijacking semis on the highway, on the interstates, and you know, I mean, this is crazy. The Somalis who attacked this ship, the one that I've focused on for the past week, attacked a ship that was carrying food to starving people further down the coast of that godforsaken continent, Africa. And I don't know how long it would have taken the Somali pirates to realize what they had seized. And at that point, if there is honor among thieves, I think at that point the Somalis might have suggested to themselves, okay, this is not somebody dumping nuclear waste or taking our fish, so we're going to let them go. But that's not the case. I don't know what the case was going to turn out to be, but here recently, what the Somali pirates have been doing is killing people, throwing people overboard, demanding ransom. If that makes if the charges leveled by the Somalis are valid, does that justify the attacking and attempting to kill the crew and captain of a ship delivering relief supplies to Mombasa? I guess in some of your minds, it does. It does justify attacking and attempting to kill or hold hostage people who were not dumping nuclear waste, were not overfishing the areas that the Somali fishermen use. So I guess the point I'm trying to get to, the larger issue here is the utter global destruction of the earth. You know, I happen to not like the fact that when I get a glass of water, I'm drinking somebody else's Viagra or somebody else's medicine that has worked its way into the various municipal water supplies because it comes from the groundwater. I don't like the fact that two or three superpowers have totally polluted the earth with nuclear poison. By the same token, I don't like people that blow up other people or kidnap other people who are not directly involved, who are not perpetrators. They happen to be innocent people walking by or sailing by or flying overhead or whatever. So I'm going to make a plea to those of you who feel compelled to write to me or send me another link to this story about how I'm being lied to about the Somali pirates, to please stop. Because, you know, it's starting to irritate the hell out of me. We are not talking, if you want to address the issue of the charge that somebody is dumping nuclear waste off the coast of Somalia, okay, let's talk about it. But to make the linkage between acts of terror against innocent people and the dumping of nuclear waste off the coast of Somalia, to me, there is no linkage. You know, I guess I have a case against the Southern Company that provides electricity for all of us here in the South because they are making the air unbreathable and they are leaving enormous amounts of plutonium down here at the Savannah River Nuclear a storage facility, Barnwell, South Carolina. Jesus Christ, I was there 30 years ago getting arrested, trying to protest what was going on when it was owned by Dow Chemical, this Barnwell nuclear repository play. So what do you, you know, what do you want to do? Let's, you know, you want to start with the Somali pirates? Go right ahead. How about coming over here and saying, poor Mike Malloy, he's been exposed to nuclear waste now for 30 years. You know, let's do something for poor Mike Malloy. Poor Mike Malloy, he can't eat fish any longer because the fish is totally laced with mercury. Poor Mike Malloy, let's do something. Come on! God damn it! What do you want to do? Come over here and join me and let's go, what? Blow up bridges and dams and buses and people on vacation in their cars, because of an injustice done to me? Are you serious? Are you serious? So do me a favor, since I can't reach you. Now I got an email from somebody in Melbourne, Australia, for Christ's sake, making the same claim, asking me if I think Greenpeace should stop shadowing the Japanese whalers. Son of a bitch, that's a stretch, isn't it? My God, I mean, come on, folks, get in the real world. No wonder so often liberals are so easily parodied. I mean, focus on the issue, will you? Some pirates, some criminals. I mean, goddamn. I realize there's a big romantic 500-year history of pirates. They're wonderful people. They were working against the injustices of exploitation and capitalism in its early stages. Okay. But not these guys. For Christ's sake, they're ordered by a warlord, which is another word for gangster. Go get me some money. Well, how do we do that, boss? Go hijack a ship. Well, what if they resist? Kill them. Throw in that bit about how our fish are all dead.
Soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
Tam before the hour. I had a couple of quick emails here to bring a little bit of light to all the noise that I'm making about this pirate issue. This is from Mike in Roswell, New Mexico, writes, the great problem in Somalia is that it's been effectively without a government for more than 20 years, and there's nobody in Somalia who can make protestations to the World Forum about violations of the Treaty of Open Seas, let alone join that treaty. Moreover, the only group to have managed some semblance of governance in that sad, internally and externally exploited country, the Islamic Courts Union, has been pretty much destroyed by U.S.-supported incursions by Ethiopia. That said, if the pirates were acting as a de facto shore patrol on behalf of the people of Somalia in the absence of a functioning government, that would be one thing. But Somali pirates are doing this for profit. And there's no evidence that this current bunch in the news are doing anything but trying to enrich themselves. That's from Michael in New Mexico. And Reg at TV News Lives, right? I don't believe most people understand the breadth of the pirate attacks over the past year alone. In 2009, pirates from Somalia have carried out 165 attacks on cargo ships. They do this for ransom and have collected millions from governments around the world. They are criminals endangering world commerce, not environmentalists. Yeah. So, again, with all due respect to the people who want to educate me as to the righteousness of pirate attacks, enough, okay? Seriously. I have too many rational listeners who write in and say, no, here's the way it really works. You want to do this? Yeah, why not? I mentioned this earlier. One of Germany's most senior Catholic bishops used his Easter Sunday sermon to attack atheists and imply a connection between a non-belief in some cloud being and the worst crimes of Nazism. He is Walter Mixa, the Bishop of Augsburg, and he said in his Easter Sunday sermon, quote, where God is denied or opposed, soon man and his dignity will also be denied and disregarded. Oh, here we go again. As reported by this German website, Mixa, who is also the Catholic Church's military bishop in Germany, why, of course, added, quote, the inhumanity of practiced atheism has been proven in the last century in the most terrible way by the godless regimes of National Socialism with their punishment camps, their secret police, and their mass murders. And he also claimed that Christians and the Church had been particular victims of the Nazis. You talk about this guy must work part-time for Karl Rove. You talk about, I'm a bishop during the day, but at night I get online and get orders from Karl Rove. What the hell is wrong with this man? National Socialism targeted the Catholic Church? No. National Socialism in Germany worked hand in glove with the Catholic Church. How many of those photos? Good God. Here, just Google Nazis Catholic Church. Google it. And look at all the photographs that are out there from the 30s and 40s of princes of the church, playing grab ass with the boys dressed up in SS regalia. I mean, give me a break with this nonsense, right? Rudolf Ludwig, chairman of the International Association of the Confessionless, that would be people like me, said Mix's sermon was part of a, quote, long-term strategy of the church to wrongly unburden the history of its own institution with regards to fascism. And go, well, of course, the church is fascist. It is completely fascist. There is the church leaders, and then there's everybody else. There is no democracy. Women don't exist except as beasts to squeeze out babies for the glory of God. You are to suffer. You are to live in swill and dirt and filth. You are not to rise up against people who should be arisen against, because you are to obey your parish priest, who in turn obey. You are to turn over your children to be buggered at the will of the priest in order to satisfy his lust. Because after all, he's taken a vow of celibacy. These people are out of their goddamn minds. Rudolf Ludwig, again, told Der Spiegel magazine that the National Socialist dictatorship was, quote, in no way the dictatorship of a determined atheist movement. It targeted communists, social democrats, liberals, trade unionists, Jews, gypsies, homosexuals, the disabled, and other groups. Philosopher Michael Schmidt-Salomon, spokesman for the humanist Giordano Bruno Foundation, said, quote, when you know that during the Nazi era, the Jews were accused of godlessness, one can see how perfidious Bishop Mix's argument is. Yeah. This crazed Catholic bishop has apparently used Nazi references before. Towards the end of this past February, according to a newspaper report, he compared the number of Jews killed by the Nazis with the number of abortions conducted over the last few decades. Oh, my God. We'll be back after the break. We're going to take some phone calls. If you want to get online, 877-99-MALLOY. Stay with us. Welcome back. It is just about 7 past the hour. Phone number here is 877-996-2556. If you'd like to comment. Regarding the Nazis being atheists, let us not forget the Wehrmacht belt buckle inscription, Gott mit uns. God with us, that all the German soldiers wore. There's really no point in trying to refute some psychopathic prince of the church who says that the Nazis were atheists. Okay. Phone calls, 877-99-MALLOY. Let's go. We have, what do we have here? 4 open lines, so jump in and join us. Jan in Oregon, Wisconsin writes regarding terrorism. She writes, Mike, my mother was born and raised in Belfast, Ireland. She was born a Protestant but converted to Catholicism when she married my father and moved to the United States after World War II. A conversion that guaranteed she could never return to her native land. As a child, I was fascinated by my Irish heritage and often quizzed my mother about Ireland. She was reluctant to talk about her upbringing due to the sadness and abuse she suffered, and she was also very adamant about the violence inherent with her country. She considered all sides wrong. Once, after reading a romanticized story in which the Irish Republican Army members were depicted as heroes, my mother snorted and said, "They're all terrorists." And this was before that word got worn out. When I asked her to explain, she replied, "If you have to set off bombs and carry guns, you're a terrorist. I don't care what your cause is." She felt that way about all violence and all war. So I'm with you on the feelings about the Somali pirates. They're just criminals carrying guns and intent on robbing people, just as the Israelis killing children in Gaza are homicidal maniacs, just as the Nazis were evil demons. If you have to make your point at the end of a gun or with a pipe bomb or with a knife or a guided missile or anthrax in the mail, well, you're nothing but a terrorist. I don't care what you stand for or pretend to believe. Jan. Yeah, I agree. I completely, totally agree. Plus, one more thing on the Prince of the Church. All those right-wing war lovers, Michael writes, should know that German war machinery had crosses emblazoned on them. Duh. The swastika was a variant on an old Coptic Christian symbol for the cross, as I recall. Leave it to the Catholic Church to try to bury its own fascist past, especially its recent beatification of Monsignor Jose Maria Escriva, Franco's supporter. Right. Right. Of course. Oh, my God. All right. Plant Your Bubble Garden, our usually nightly missive from Prairie too, go to his website and discuss it with him. Prairie 2 must be getting some web traffic because I used to get emails who say, you know, Prairie 2 is out of his mind or Prairie 2 is exactly right on. And I don't get those anymore. So, hopefully you're going to prairie2.com and debate it with him. This is what he writes tonight. Two different versions of reality are circulating in the mainstream media. One version is the so-called news, dutifully read on air from press releases put out by the large banks. From what is being read from the teleprompters, you would think that there wasn't really any problem with the banks, and after the slight hiccup in the economy, they are making billions again, and ready for business as usual. The other version is coming out in drips and drabs in the print media. People who attended White House meetings with bankers say that the encounters have been heated, with banking regulators in favor of wholesale firings and a crackdown on executive pay. The bankers want to continue collecting billions in salary and perks from banks that are losing, well, billions. And not just investors' money, that's long gone, but now taxpayer money as well. The bankers contend that they are solvent, but to make that claim, they are valuing their toxic assets at 91% of original value. Nobody will give them anything like that, and never will. But when your weekly salary is measured in millions, you must be smarter than everybody else, right? They are really operating like any other chronic gambler who is sure that if they just keep going back to the table, they will win it all back. Of course, they aren't gambling with their money. It's our farm they're betting on as they work toward an inside straight. They win no matter how much we lose. But that's the free market, right? How dare Obama and a bunch of bureaucrats at the Treasury Department interfere in the free market? Just keep printing money and handing it to them and everything will be all right. Just keep repeating. Everything will be all right. We just need keep printing money, keep printing money, printing, printing, printing. The bankers are creating the public illusion that the free market is working everything out, and the government is putting undue burdens on them. This may make it difficult for Obama to convince Congress to authorize further action. If they prevail and are able to just go back to business as usual, then what we will get is another bubble. This one won't take long to run its course, and when it bursts, things really will get bad. Everybody should follow the president's example and plant a garden. Prairie2.com is his web address, prairie2.com. Hopefully the rain will let up and we can get ours started this week. Dave is calling from Chicago, listening on XM. Dave, welcome to the program.
How's it going, Mike? You're right about Tom Hartman. Folks, do not show up at these teabagging parties with a sign. The possibility of your getting shot is very, very real.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Second of all, as much as you know, Mike, and you've taught me tons, I've been listening to Andrew Wilkow show today. He's a big-time righty. He's probably one of the best ones. He's amazingly good.
Uh-huh.
He went on for 15 minutes about Rachel Maddow's talking about teabagging, and they went back and forth about and I forget that girl's name who's always on. They went back and forth as to how many times they said teabagging. The righties know exactly what teabagging is. They knew by using that term that you guys would make fun of them.
Uh-huh.
So they took it, now they're running with it. They're brilliant, really.
I don't see how you could use the term right-winger and brilliant in the same sentence, Dave.
Right-winger and who at the same sentence?
Huh?
And brilliant at the same sentence. I couldn't hear you.
You know, you're breaking up pretty bad, pal. I'm sorry, Dave, but I'm going to have to disconnect for this call. I don't know exactly what's going on. I think it might be your cell phone. I hope it's not this. It is a cell phone? Okay. I was going to say, I hope it's not this crappy-ass equipment again. Kenny is calling from Baltimore, listening on Sirius. Hey, Kenny.
Hey, Mike Harding, man. Great show, man. I just listen to you for hours and hours. I wish you were 24/7 on this show, man.
Trust me, you couldn't.
No, I mean it's nice. I mean I pretty much agree with you on pretty much everything except a couple of things.
But, well, good. I mean, the more you disagree, the probably the more mentally healthy you are. But you really called about.
Yeah, I want to mention this thing. Actually, made a comment earlier about this Pirates issue. You know, I don't really see nothing wrong with it. I mean, just what's the difference between, you know, Pirates and a bunch of these terrorists out of Europe a couple of hundred years ago, just going around the world, invading all the countries, making people slaves. All the raw materials during the Industrial Revolution, and you know, and just because you got a uniform on and you got some training from your government makes you a legitimate soldier, you could just do whatever you want. I mean, just like what we're doing in Iraq, you know, we got our whole thing going on, and we are supporting these.
Hey, let me hold on a minute. Let me put you on hold a second, Kenny. I got to do a break here, and I'm not exactly sure. What you're saying, that may be my fault. So I'll put you on hold. We'll come back right after the break. Stay with us.
My neck is red, my collar blue. I like it that way. I don't hear liberals talking to me. I don't see things their way. Yeah, I'm on the right side. I'm on the right side. Hey, listen here. I'm a
up America one flying monkey at a time. It's More Mike Malloy.
Fat Charlie the Archangel sloped into the room. He said, I have no opinion about this.
It's about 22 past the hour. And speaking of, you know, some of the misdirected hatred that is leveled against atheists or humanists, you know, last Friday I had occasion to speak before the meeting of the National Association of Atheists. That's not the real name, but whatever it was, I've forgotten already. I got invited to speak there, and they were holding at Emory University here in Atlanta. And, of course, I took advantage of that and had a great time. But according to the Detroit Free Press, you know, there was another, last Friday, there was another double murder. A guy named Anthony Powell allegedly pulled out a shotgun and killed a 20-year-old student, Asia McGowan, and then he killed himself at Dearborn's Henry Ford Community College on Friday. He apparently sparked a following of haters online who dubbed him a special brand of idiot. This guy ranted online, or not online, but on YouTube videos. He ranted about atheists. He ranted about the role of women in relationships and his desire to kill himself. Obviously, he was unbalanced. After the shooting, his family said they repeatedly had tried to get him help for long-term depression. But in his videos, this young guy, well, he was 28, he denounced atheists, calling them tools of the devil who are filled with hatred and rage. This from a guy who uses a gun for his hatred and rage. In other videos, Powell said that women should stick by and be obedient to their husbands. he used a shotgun, like I mentioned, when he killed this female student and himself. He said in one of his videos that atheists are, quote, a group of people who are mentally retarded. It's a group of people who are just stupid. He called on other Christians to join him in an effort to murder atheists. It's, you know, the people who are so-called atheists, who are non-believers in religious mysticism and in superstition, that's kind of the last group that it is okay, apparently, in some circles, to talk about murdering them. Now, who was I talking to before? Did we lose him? Oh, damn. All right. Sorry. Bill is calling from Greenville, South Carolina, listening online. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you again, you Spartan warrior spirit, you.
Yeah, okay. You've been into the cooking sherry again, right?
All right. I only had one beer tonight. So.
Oh, okay. All right.
But I had called before and mentioned that my analogy for you was that guy in the 300 before. But anyway.
Right.
What I want to talk about is we all know that there's been baseball players before Congress and car guys and bank guys and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And as we all know, Karl Rove is in contempt twice here.
Mm-hmm.
And what the heck is going on with that? I mean, what is wrong with getting this little shower scum guy? Can we do this?
Well, according to the law, no. But you know who has to enforce the law is, I think, either the head of the committee who subpoenaed him or the Speaker of the House. I think he's been subpoenaed now by both House and Senate, or just the House. I'm not sure. But there is written into the U.S. Constitution the manner in which you haul people in to testify who refuse even after they have been subpoenaed. You know, the word subpoena means under law. So the fact that Karl Rove is doing what he's doing is because he understands an essential truth about congressional Democrats, and that is they are cowardly sons of bitches who don't deserve to be in the position of power that they're in because they are cowardly. Or did I already say that? You understand what I'm saying? Sure you do.
Yeah, and but if I had broken a federal law that involved Congress,
you'd be under a jail.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, is there not something posted where we can keep up with this, or do they not?
I don't know any specific website that will keep us abreast of how Karl Rove is doing in his constantly giving the finger to congressional subpoenas, but I don't know. Bill, if you or I did something like this, we would be surrounded by federal marshals who would be fully armed and fully suited up, and we would go. Hey, I got to go, pal. Thanks, Bill. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Talk radio done right. From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
It is 26 before the hour. Have you signed up for the podcast yet? You haven't? Well, go to MikeMalloy.com and do that. It's 25 cents a show is what it works out to. 25 cents a program. Buck and a quarter a week for podcasts and other features that are available to the Malloy Show subscribers. So, excuse me, go to MikeMalloy.com and subscribe, okay? Thanks. A couple more things here. Oh, Odierno, General Ray Odierno, the commander-in-chief of the multinational force in Iraq, was on Sunday's CNN program with John King. What a goof-ass King is. I swear to God, he is such a goof-ass. He said that U.S. forces in Iraq will... He would not hesitate to recommend an extension of that June 30th deadline, which is coming up for withdrawing American troops from that country's urban areas, if the violence continues. Now, as you know, there has been quite a bit of violence here lately. As a matter of fact, was it 4 or 5 American troops were killed in northern Iraq just the other day? Odierno said there were still small cells of suicide bombers in that country. And he said there are some cells out there that are still capable of undertaking suicide attacks. It's much less than it's ever been. We are now working very hard with the Iraqi security forces to finish off this last group of individuals. But if the U.S. does not get out of the country that we have ravaged for the past 6 years, this will be the excuse. And from Australian TV, this was on, I think it was on yesterday or today. This is a script from a program on, what channel is it? It's the program is AM. It's on Australian television, ABC, Australian Broadcasting Corporation. I'm not sure what the channel was. The reporter was Ann Barker. And she showed some tape. And the script said, little has changed in Gaza since the war in January. Thousands of families still living in tents and homes and schools, still just rubble and ruins. But life for many children has never been the same since Israel launched its offensive 3 months ago. In January, Israeli bombs flattened the main building of this school, the video showed it, in northern Gaza, destroying 8 of the school's 20 classrooms. The students had already evacuated, but the 3-story block was crushed. The top floor still dangles dangerously over the school ground, and giant slabs of jagged concrete hang precariously in midair. And the 22-month blockade imposed on Gaza means few, if any, materials are getting in to rebuild shattered areas or schools. English teacher Gada Abu Ward still sees the daily impact on her students. She said, quote, they are hesitant, frustrated, depressed, thinking and dreaming all the time, daydreams. Then after that, we lose concentration and have bad achievement. At the bravest times, the kids have thought, I want to die. My father was dead in the Israeli attack. I want to be with him. I want to die. There's nothing good about this life. At least when I die, I will be with my parents, and it will be heaven and paradise. 12-year-old Amsiat Awaja faces a tougher ordeal than many. Days before the school was hit, her family home was bombed. Through a translator, she says her 9-year-old brother was shot dead by Israeli soldiers. Her parents, too, were shot and injured, and now they live in a tent in a nearby camp. She said, quote, when my brother was between the hands of my father and they executed him on purpose, they meant to kill, to shoot him. I remember also when my parents got wounded and they were bleeding for 5 days. I hope that in the future there will be openings of border crossings so the construction material will come in so I have my house again. But the future will never bring me back my brother. End quote. Israel's military has repeatedly described its armed forces as, quote, the most moral in the world, end quote, saying they take care not to kill civilians. But it has justified the bombing campaign as retaliation for rocket fire into Israel by Hamas. Amsiat Awaja's father, Kamal, questions why his son had to die. He said through a translator, quote, the Israelis claim through the whole war that they are democratic, they are a civilized society, but why did they execute my son? So all the people, all the army, who's doing that? All the people who are doing that is not civilized. and it goes on. Press TV says that the three-week war on the Gaza left 437 children dead, 1,872 children wounded. Ahmad Al-Kurd, Minister of Social Affairs in Gaza, said last Friday on the Christian Good Friday and the Jewish Passover that the Israeli army targeted women and children and that its shelling targeted homes, hospitals, education facilities, and even mosques. The killing and wounding of large numbers of children, he added, proves that the Israeli forces targeted civilian areas. According to the report, Israel's offensive also left 1,500 children orphans. Each lost a parent or both parents in the attacks. Thousands of children suffered psychological problems due to witnessing scenes of death and violent destruction. Israel has been accused of committing war crimes during that attack, including the use of deadly white phosphorus in densely populated civilian areas and the use of civilians as human shields. Israel initially denied using white phosphorus. However, mounting evidence later forced Israeli officials to admit having employed the shells. The three-week Israeli assault killed 1,330 Palestinians and wounded 5,450 others, a large number of them women and children. We don't talk about that anymore, do we? Gaza? Schmaza. Never happened, right? Never happened. Some of the most horrific scenes that I saw as a late teen, early 20s in my life, I started becoming aware of what the Nazis did to Jewish children. Little kids from the shtetls and the ghettos who were forced onto cattle cars. Little kids. It destroyed my mind to some degree. You know, those images were just burned in, and I'll never get rid of them any more than I'll be able to remove from my consciousness the pictures of the mass graves in Treblinka and Bergen-Belsen, Auschwitz, and so on and so on and so on. But the pictures that were most searing, the most painful to me, the ones that made me want to run screaming out of the room from where I was watching the film strips, were the ones of the kids, little children, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, being marched down those corridors in the death camps, you know, with the barbed wire up and the posts up and the, you know, they finally would reach a point where the kids and their older sisters or their mothers would be separated from the brothers and the fathers. And those pictures, I'll never forget it. And it reminds me exactly, there is no difference of the pictures of the Palestinian children, the pictures from the morgues, of the kids in Gaza who were blown to pieces by Israeli weaponry. Excuse me. Stacks of, not stacks, that would be, have been, that's what the Nazis did to the Jewish children, put them in stacks. The dead Palestinian children were just laid out side by side. And I don't know how parents can, if someone were to kill Molly, they would have to kill me immediately. They would have to kill me. If I had to walk into an execution chamber with my 5-year-old daughter Molly, I would be insane before I got there. If I lived in an area where a massive, well-equipped by the United States Army attacked my city, my town, my house, and killed my child, I would spend the rest of my life determined to get justice.
Hey Joe, where you going with that gun in your hand? You can take your revenge, but you'll still feel bad. There must be more to life than lucky strikes and some unlucky ones. Folded flags and pipes.
Thanks to the crew who is who works diligently every night to please all the all you people, as the pig man would say, all you people. Catherine Bay, who engineered the program and produced. Ben Birch, who advises us technically. Our military affairs correspondent is Sharon Gordy. Our economic affairs correspondent is Bruce Enberg. And the ethical affairs correspondents are Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf. And moi. So to folks who are just finding the program, we want to certainly want to welcome you. It is by no means a program that's easy to for Republicans or conservatives to handle. I think we're down to about six Republicans because they're incapable of handling the truth about anything, especially about themselves. So if you want to know what this program is really about, and you really want to form an opinion, an informed opinion about what this program is about, and you stumble onto it or you hear about it, I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. You tune in each night for 2 weeks. At the end of 2 weeks, you're mine. More or less. You will come back again and again and again. I love it when I get emails from right-wingers who say stupid stuff like, you know, I heard about your program. Did you say something bad about Glenn Beck? Well, you son of a bitch and socialist, you know. I mean, it's like, oh, please, please spare me. You can do better than that. Nan is calling from St. Louis, listening on XM. Nan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Michael.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, great. I have maybe a chuckle and a grin and then a question.
Okay.
I have to give a little outline because I'm menopausally Alzheimer's right now. First of all, the DHS, our, you know, Orange Alert, Be Afraid, Be Very Afraid agency,
yeah,
issued a nine-page report from the Office of Analysis and Assessment about the rhetoric coming from the right-wing extremists to all law enforcement agencies that they need to be aware of.
Really? Are you you're kidding? The Department of Homeland Security?
Yes.
Has notified law enforcement about the right-wing gibberish?
Yes.
Oh, my God. If you have a link to that, please email it to me.
I'm like, don't do cell phones and computers. I'm doing a computer because I have to, but I'm terrified. I'm terrified of the government. But
well, I understand that fear. But
it is on the internet.
It is, and it's a DHS report on the right wing crazies and how their local law enforcement should be alert.
Yes, because they're inciting civil unrest and, you know, get your guns and buy all the ammunition you can.
Oh, my God. I've got to find that. I've got to find that. Cool. Okay.
It was issued, I think, Saturday.
Okay.
And, okay, and then here's a little grin for you. It was on the same thing. I heard it on the same night. So they said, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Give a man religion and he'll starve to death praying for a fish. As a fellow atheist, I thought you might enjoy that.
That's...
And then I have a question.
Oh, God.
Because I do want to support your program, but I'm not really a computer person. I don't even know what a podcast is. I'm fairly certain I don't have a pod or whatever that is. But how do you, is it $60 a year?
Yeah.
And do you have to pay that all at once?
No, you can. Well, if you choose the $60 a year option, yeah. We also have a monthly thing, but I think that runs, I think it's, how much is it, Kathy? $6.95 or
$7? I don't know. It's a 25 cents a show.
Yeah, if you do the yearly subscription thing, Nan, it works out to 25 cents a show, which is a buck and a quarter a week.
But Nan, let me tell you, if you're not a pod person, which I understand because my mother and half my family and most of the people I know aren't pod people, thankfully, but you can go to MikeMalloy.com and there are other ways you can donate a podcast subscription to someone else if you wanted to support the show. I think starting this week or next, we're going to have Malloy gear for sale, you know, t-shirts and coffee mugs. And of course, you can always support the advertisers of this program and, you know, like if you snore, we got some great pillows. Or if you know someone who snores.
I don't sleep, so.
You don't sleep.
No, right? I'm just one constant hot flash, so.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Have you tried Focus Factor for that?
I've heard of people who are one constant, never unrelenting hot flash. Yeah,
and if you want softer, smoother skin.
Yeah, right. Kathy is going through our list of advertisers for your benefit. Well, a podcast is just where you download the program onto your computer from the download site, which is at MikeMalloy.com. And,
is that a stream link or is that something different?
No, it's just where you listen without the commercials. You can put it on an iPod. You can put it in your computer.
Listen anytime you like.
You can listen anytime you want. And
commercial free.
And commercial free, and you can keep it forever.
But you have to have an iPod.
No.
Whatever in the hell that is.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to put you on hold. And Kathy,
okay, but I have one more thing.
All right, well, I got to go. But let me put you on hold. Kathy will pick up and tell you what the iPod thing is. But we're flat out of time, Nan. I'll see you, and everybody else. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
And the sound we play together is the music to the story in your eyes. It's been shining.